My friends, welcome to Greenwich, a town for all seasons. A community with a bountiful history like Greenwich, Connecticut is a special place in our hearts. This is our shared inheritance, offering us the opportunity to once again savor and celebrate the flavors of our past, pass it on to those who follow, and delight in this place we call home. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, a descendant of Greenwich's founders, and I'm your host. I'm glad to have you with us today. May our journey together be just as engaging and treasured as those whose lives and legacies fascinate us today.
Coming up on today's show.
On Talk of the Town, we're featuring an encore conversation from 2018 with New York-based architect Norm Davis. You hear the story of a circa 1799 Greenwich gravestone he found in his home in Portchester, New York, that we repatriated back to where it rightfully belongs. Rightfully hers, celebrates. The passage of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution a century ago, granting women the right to vote. You'll hear an announcement about a historic house restoration project in backcountry Greenwich, spurred by this radio show and in collaboration with my friends at the Greenwich Audubon Center. We'll have all this and more as today's show unfolds. Stick around.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
I love coffee, and so should you. Coffee Cafe Roasters is a unique gem with its trendy, chic, and upscale aesthetic and a friendly staff who make you feel welcomed the moment you walk through the door. 118 Greenwich Avenue, Greenwich, Connecticut. Call 203-661-8300. My friends, welcome to Talk of the Town on Greenwich, a town for all seasons. I'm Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host. Norm Davis is a lifelong New York resident who grew up in neighboring Portchester in Westchester County, New York. He is a licensed architect who also has a passion for history. Now, you can learn more at normdavisarchitect.com. I've invited Norm to be on Greenwich, a town for all seasons today so that we could share with you a remarkable journey of a circa 1799 gravestone from Greenwich that reappeared in his family's backyard and basement. Our efforts to repatriate this stone involved many far-flung individuals and our good friends at the Greenwich Historical Society. Well, welcome to Greenwich, a town for all seasons. The listening audience is meeting you, Norm, for the first time. Tell us about yourself.
Well, first, thank you so much for having me on board, Jeffrey. I really appreciate it. And very briefly, I am a resident of New York. I was born and raised in New York all my life, and we grew up right on the border of Greenwich and Byram, so I know the area very well. I have always had an interest in the history of the area, and that's really kind of what led us to this point, I guess.
We initially met via email in November, I think, of 2013.
And that's correct.
And you shared with me a fascinating family story about a long-lost gravestone. I don't know why, but I'm like the walking bureau of lost gravestones guy or something. I don't know. Anyway, so tell us about that.
Well, it's kind of an odd story, and it's one of those stories that I don't really know where to start, so I kind of start in the middle. As I mentioned, we grew up in Portchester. And my father was something of a genealogist. In fact, he wrote a book called Patriarchs of Westchester, which is kind of a reference guide for a lot of the families in Greenwich and Byram and North Castle and everything in that area. And at some point, probably in the early 60s, he decided to do a little bit of landscape work in the backyard. And we had some old stone steps, which we don't really know who put those steps in, but he dug them up and flipped one of them over, and it was a gravestone, which was kind of a little bit on the creepy side, but, we scraped the dirt off, cleaned it off. It was in relatively good shape, broken at the top and bottom. It said Rachel Mead on it. And my father, having done a little bit of research in the area, knew that the Meads were all over Greenwich, And I started doing a little bit of digging, no pun intended, and discovered that we were actually not just related to Rachel, but we were descended from her, which is a little bit peculiar. So the stone sat in the cellar of the house for years and years and years, and the time finally came for us to sell that house. And at that time, I was already on Facebook. I had a historic site for Portchester, which I had been running for a while. And I mentioned this story about the stone, which, you know, was just a little, sort of intriguing little sidebar to things that go on in Portchester. And one of the women who had already been on that website and had contributed through her knowledge of Byram and Greenwich was Wendy McFedrin. And she said, "Oh, gosh, you got to do something about this." And I said, "Yeah, I know. You know, we're selling the house. I don't want to put the stone on the curb." And she started suggesting, you know, try and get a hold of somebody from the Mead family and see what could be done. And that's how I got a hold of you. So that was a very happy coincidence, you know, which involves Wendy McFedrin, Facebook, and dozens of other things. But we did, as you know, manage to get together.
Yep. And we should mention to the audience that that Wendy, you know where she lives, don't you?
I know. Well, she's not. She's all over the place now.
Yeah. But she lives in Scotland.
Yeah.
And so, again, in the United Kingdom, way across the big pond, and we're here on Facebook. So, you know, you're in New York and I'm either in Greenwich or in Honolulu. And of course, she's, you know, way up there. And it says a lot about the impact that social media has on, you know, historical affairs and genealogy and things like that. So, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. So now also you. You also had been in contact, I believe, with Maureen Mead Pond. Is that correct?
Yeah, we touched base briefly. You know, the only reason really I ran into Maureen, not that I, you know, I haven't had long correspondence with her, but, you know, in trying to research really what to do with this Rachel, you know, I found her website, you know, and I know she's been running the the U.S. Gen Web Project for the Mead families. Just wonderful information on that site.
Yeah.
And I urge anyone who's interested, really, not in just the history of the Mead family, but, you know, just in Fairfield County in general, she's got some great, great information on there. And it's an ongoing project, you know, in spite of the fact that the Meads are really original from the British colonies. Mm-hmm. There are just probably tens of thousands of people at this point who are related to that family.
Yes.
And you really ought to look in over there. It's very interesting.
Yes, we are everywhere. And and going off, and she's in the Pacific Northwest, so, you know, imagine that. So
we're spread out.
Yeah, we're everywhere. Now, we were finally able to track down the location of Rachel Mead's marble replacement stone for you, and therefore, you know, able to pinpoint the place where this brownstone marker that you had in your cellar all these many years. Now, I have to ask you first: how did you feel when you received that news, and why?
Well, I tell you, it gave me chills. You know, I felt very badly about, you know, the potential loss of this stone, and you know, it kind of went in stages. First of all, I was shocked to learn that she does have a headstone at the Second Congregational Church in Greenwich, and the wording is exactly the same, word for word. Mm-hmm. It is identical. Yeah. And, of course, you, you know, in your documentation and research, you were the one who pointed out that, hey, there was a big storm back in the early 1900s when there was some scaffolding set up around the church for repairs. Mm-hmm. That scaffolding apparently got knocked down in the storm, and many of the headstones in that area were damaged.
Yeah.
So that kind of tells us, okay, that's why there's a replacement stone. The part of the puzzle that I still do not know is how the heck her original brownstone headstone ended up in the backyard of a house in Portchester?
Yeah, that is a good question. I can tell you, because when he was alive, William E. Finch Jr., who was the Greenwich Sound historian when he was alive and with us, had told me that back when that storm happened, it was an Easter weekend in the early 1900s, and a big windstorm blew everything down, that there were people that actually came and ran off with some of the gravestones.
Oh, no.
We actually found one in the backyard of my granddad's house in Coscob, and repatriated that back to the cemetery next to the Second Congregational Church. Yeah, we did that. And so I'm assuming that there may be more of these around. You never know. So that's it. So, all right. Well, so you had the chills and everything. By the way, I should mention to the audience that you did offer for me to come in to take the stone. It would have been the biggest paperweight in my collection.
Yeah.
And a very, very heavy one. I actually even asked the church if we could house it there, and they were kind of hesitant about that, which actually turned out to be okay.
My friends, you are listening to Talk of the Town on Greenwich, a town for all seasons. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, and I am your host here at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere in Greenwich, Connecticut, USA. My guest today is New York architect Norm Davis, and we are talking about a very, very interesting episode, a historical one that we had involving the repatriation of a lost gravestone that was found in Norm Davis's backyard. It is back where it belongs, in the cemetery next to the Second Congregational Church off East Putnam Avenue in Greenwich. If by some chance you have a gravestone lying around your backyard or in your basement or someplace else, well, why not? Contact me at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com, and we'll see about getting it put back in its rightful place.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
You're listening to Greenwich, a Town for All Seasons on 1490 WGCH in Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and WGCH.com anywhere via audio streaming on the internet. My name is Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host. Contact me anytime at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Again, that's greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Check out the show's news blog at greenwichatownforallseasons.blogspot.com. Are you on Facebook? Well, I hope you are. Look up the Greenwich, a Town for All Seasons show page and like us, please. Facebook groups I recommend you subscribe to include You Know You're From Greenwich If, administered by Greenwich resident Judy Goss, Images of Greenwich, Connecticut, administered by Jim Ramsey, and Nostalgia Greenwich. Tune in to Greenwich, a Town for All Seasons every other Wednesday morning, 9 to 9:30 a.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. Can't listen to us in real time? Well, fear not. We've got you covered with archive shows in the shows and hosts section of WGCH.com, and a special channel that I have created and posted on podcasts.com. The Greenwich Historical Society relies on private support to deliver an array of programs and services in Greenwich, Connecticut. Your contributions advance its mission by funding the following areas: education and public programs for all ages, exhibitions and collections to preserve and maintain our heritage, historic preservation to ensure that our community's significant structures are not lost, and library and archives to keep our history alive for the future. The Society preserves and interprets Greenwich history to strengthen our community's connection to our past, to each other, and our future. The Greenwich Historical Society chronicles the past, but the future is in your hands. You're invited to give and also to join the Greenwich Historical Society by calling 203-869-6899 or going on the web to greenwichhistory.org. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Greenwich, a Town for All Seasons. I'm Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host. With me today is Norm Davis, and on tap, we are talking about the repatriation of a very, very special gravestone, one that belonged to a woman by the name of Rachel Mead, dating from 1799.
Let me ask you this. Why was it so important to return the stone for you to the rightful location in Greenwich? Now, you mentioned that that you were all selling the house in Portchester and moving on, but was there any other factor involved in that?
Yeah, there is actually. Monuments and things like that, they're peculiar, and I guess, you know, people have different reactions to them. But, you know, to me, a monument is a monument because it represents a person.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, it's the person that you're trying to respect, not the piece of stone. And to me, if you have an opportunity to do something that feels right, you ought to do it.
Yes.
And in this case, you know, it wasn't a costly endeavor, although, you know, I can imagine in some cases it might be. But in this case, really, it was, you know, rent a truck, get a hand truck, mm-hmm. you know, spend a day. And it was just wonderful of you that you were able to make that happen. I have to admit that, you know, seeing the stone back in the ground at the Congregational Church was a little bit emotional for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I imagine that, you know, when she died, there was certainly an emotional, outpouring at the cemetery. And I could actually picture it going on while we were there placing that stone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very odd time, but I am so pleased to see it there. And I've actually gone back and taken a few pictures of it since we did that. So that was wonderful.
Sure. By the way, I did walk by the cemetery this morning on my way to the radio station. I can confirm for you that the stone is still there and undisturbed and things like that. It was actually a beautiful day. When we put the stone back in the ground.
It was.
That was really, really nice. And it was able to, that it corresponded with the time that I was flying back in from, you know, my home in Hawaii. Everything came together. There was a higher power maybe involved. I don't know, but we'll see. Now, all right. So the stone is back in and everything. It was nice meeting you and other members of your family finally. That was really a lot of fun. I want to change the subject here slightly, because in one of your most recent correspondences to me, either on Facebook Messenger or email, I forgot which, you said you were doing something about an area historic house that you and your firm are working on, and I was wondering if you would talk to us about that.
Oh, sure. This again is sort of in part of came out of the associations on Facebook and my historical ties to the area. I am a New York registered architect. I have offices in New York City, and I've been in private practice for about 25 years. And I have been involved over the years sporadically with restoration projects. We did a project in Manhattan at Gramercy Park to restore the National Arts Club, which was a former residence of one of New York's mayors. That's not my main business, but it is certainly a personal interest of mine. And whenever I can, I do try and get involved in those. So through my association with you and Wendy and Rachel Mead, I got involved with the Greenwich Preservation Trust.
Ah, yes.
And they recently allowed me, I'm going to use the word allow, mm-hmm. they allowed me to come on board as a technical advisor. And we are going to be turning our attention to the Thomas Lyon House at the bottom of Putnam Avenue, right on the Byram River border there.
Oh, yes.
All right. So that house, obviously one of the very, very earliest structures in Fairfield County. Mm-hmm. And it is sort of hidden back behind the trees and bushes. So it's definitely a hidden gem in Fairfield County. And we'd like to see it getting a little more prominence and a little more attention. And that's going to happen. That's one of the things that we will be working on. I am also working on a related building, which is the Bush Lyon home in Portchester. Mm-hmm. The Lyon family, one of the very, very earliest families to reside in that area when the town of Rye was part of Fairfield County. So we have to kind of be a little bit lenient when we're talking about borders.
Of course.
But, they settled all around the Byram River area. So that house has also been open to the public sporadically, but we are going to be doing some work there and hope to be getting a lot more publicity for those two houses and the Lyon family in general. We really have deep, deep historic ties, not only to Fairfield County, but to New York State and even into New Jersey.
Yes.
These very early colonial families, they were, in spite of staying put for many generations, they were very spread out.
Yes.
So, it's been an interesting journey. But I hope to keep you up to date on what's happening on those two properties. And we look forward to seeing a lot more interest in those things going on, which to me, it's really should be a community thing. And we're going to see how we can make that happen.
Oh, well, please keep us up to date, please. And I'd be more than happy to update the audience on any progress that is made. So please do that. Now, as we close, Norm Davis, I have to ask you, share with us your thoughts about the importance of history and preserving our heritage buildings and landmarks.
Oh, that's a great question. And, you know, I have to admit that my love of history came to me in stages. It was not a childhood thing for sure, and I think that's pretty common among people. I think people get to a certain age and they begin to have a perspective that, hey, we're really on this planet for a very short time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only reason that we're here at all is because a lot of our ancestors managed to survive. Yeah. You know, you can sort of look at it as a matter of luck, but, you know, we're here. And you do begin to take an interest. I think it starts probably with your own family. Mm-hmm. And for some people, you know, it does spread out. You say, hey, you know, these people were able to make changes in this area, and that's the reason things are the way they are. And you begin to connect the dots and say, gee, some of these buildings and some of these streets and some of these rivers are named for people that I recognize. Mm-hmm. And you begin to feel like you're a part of something much bigger than your own 75 or 80 years. And I think that level of interest and excitement can be spread to other people through the preservation of these beautiful old homes or buildings, or sometimes it's even just parks and places that have a historic background and have an interesting story to tell. And I think if we can tell those stories in a way that interests people, that's what keeps these things alive. That's what brings people to these buildings and brings enough interest to people to preserve these buildings, because some of them are expensive.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'll tell you, Norman Davis, you have been a wonderful guest, and turns out we are distant cousins. And
Yes, we are.
So I want to thank you very much for being on Talk of the Town on the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. Please stay in touch. And by the way, folks, for those of you listening, if you have a wayward gravestone in your cellar, your backyard, or whatever, contact me here at Greenwich A Town for All Seasons at gmail.com, and we'll see if we can repatriate it back to where it belongs. So, Norman, I want to thank you very, very much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Great show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Sure. Thank you. It's time for Rightfully Hers, marking the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, granting women the right to vote. British-born and educated Carolyn Roots Reese held a Ph.D. from Columbia University and was headmistress of Rosemary Hall from its founding in 1890 until her retirement in 1938. She developed a challenging curriculum for her students and advocated participation in student government and sports. A naturalized citizen, Roots Reese was passionately committed to the suffrage movement, serving as a member of the executive committee of the Connecticut Woman Suffrage Association, vice president of the American Woman Suffrage Association, founding member of the Greenwich Equal Franchise League, and founder of the National Junior Suffrage Corps. The Audubon Center in Greenwich opened in 1942 on land donated by Eleanor Clovis Reese and H. Hall Clovis. It was the National Audubon Society's first nature education center in the United States of America. Its 7 miles of trails lead through a rich diversity of habitats, including hardwood forest, meadows, lake, streams, and vernal ponds. Reminders of its history are its
stone walls, historic apple orchard, original barn, and other outbuildings, and a very special New England farmhouse that was built in the year 1746. On a recent broadcast of this show, I had the pleasure of hosting Eli Schaefer. He is the Greenwich Audubon Center's director. At my request, town resident Sue McClenachan and I paid a visit to the Audubon Center, and with Eli's assistance, we were given a tour of what we know to be the Zebediah Mead House. Many years ago, artist Eric Sloan once wrote, "I am indeed grateful for the good things of this age, yet I feel there were certain things of the past which were good and unimprovable, many of which have become lost. I am forever thankful for living at a time when many of the marks of early America still exist before that fast approaching time, when they will all have disappeared into a far different landscape." Restoring a historic house is no small undertaking, my friends. Old homes are full of surprises, but they're also full of stories that enrich our history and our culture. I'm asking for your support as I announce a community-based collaboration to restore and open to the public the circa 1746 Zebediah Mead House at the Greenwich Audubon Center. I'll have more details on my next broadcast in 2 weeks. Contact me with your interest at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Thank you. As we start to close today's show, I extend my sincerest thanks to Catherine Laudnier and John Mickey Robinson, Sue Hill McClanachan, and Kevin M.J. O'Connor of the Jeffrey Matthews Group, and listeners to the Greenwich A Town for All Seasons show on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, FM 105.5 in neighboring Stamford, Connecticut, at WGCH.com, anywhere live streaming globally over the internet. We welcome your support. Contact us at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com or visit our GoFundMe campaign. Thank you. Town-based radio is a long-standing tradition throughout America. 1490 WGCH has been a community fixture for over 50 years, reaching listeners spanning all demographics by providing enriching, educational, and entertaining broadcast experiences. I'm inviting you to join the fun and support Greenwich A Town for All Seasons. Advertising here gives you an advantage by identifying yourself as a supporter of our traditional history and culture. Contact me anytime at greenwichatownforallseasons@gmail.com. Our rate sheet is posted on Facebook and greenwichatownforallseasons.blogspot.com. We are living in truly historic times on a global scale that we've never seen quite before. Stay safe, healthy, and well. Be confident, be kind, support each other, and we'll emerge stronger than ever. Thank you for listening.